In today's news headlines, Maryland representative and prominent political figure Elijah Cummings has passed away. He was 68 years old. According to a statement from his office, Mr. Cummings died from, quote, complications concerning long-standing health challenges. Cummings' political career began in the Maryland House of Delegates, where he became the youngest chairperson of the Legislative Black Caucus. He went on to represent Baltimore in the House of Representatives and became chair of the Congressional Black Caucus. Cummings was chair of the House Oversight and Reform Committee and one of the Democratic leaders spearheading the impeachment inquiry into President Donald Trump when he passed away. 4 years ago, when Freddie Gray was killed by police in Baltimore, Mr. Cummings spoke at his funeral.
And we are committed, all of us, to having a new normal. See, because it's one thing for us to ask people to protest peacefully, but we realize there has to be two tracks running. And the other track is the change.
That's the late Elijah Cummings in 2015 at Freddie Gray's funeral. His fellow Democrats mourned his death, with House Speaker Nancy Pelosi calling Cummings, quote, our North Star, and saying that she was, quote, personally devastated. President Trump, who had gotten into an ugly online feud with Cummings just months ago, insulting his city as, quote, rat-infested, issued a proclamation in his honor. In news from the impeachment inquiry, White House Chief of Staff Mick Mulvaney has admitted in a press briefing on Thursday that the Trump administration held up U.S. military aid to Ukraine until they agreed to help the president investigate his Democratic rivals.
We knew that that money either had to go out the door by the end of September, or we had to have a really, really good reason not to do it. And that was the legality of the issue.
But to be clear, what you just described is a quid pro quo. It is funding will not flow unless the investigation into the Democratic server happened as well.
We do that all the time.
Mulvaney also announced that the next G7 meeting would be held at Trump's resort in Doral, Florida, that the president still owns and profits from. Meanwhile, Gordon Sondland, the U.S. ambassador to the European Union, testified behind closed doors on Thursday and reportedly broke with Trump on the Ukraine scandal. According to reports, Sondland testified that Trump delegated the U.S.'s foreign policy on Ukraine to his personal attorney, Rudy Giuliani, and he was not aware initially that Giuliani's goal may have been, quote, to involve Ukrainians directly or indirectly in the president's 2020 re-election campaign, end of quote. In his opening remarks, Sondland said he was, quote, disappointed by the decision to involve Giuliani and that, quote, our view was that the men and women of the State Department, not the president's personal lawyer, should take responsibility for all aspects of U.S. foreign policy toward Ukraine. Meanwhile, the Washington Post reported that Sondland is in the middle of a taxpayer-funded renovation to the government-provided home that he has been living in to the tune of $1 million. The renovations involve, quote, $30,000 for a new sound system and $95,000 for an outdoor living pod with a pergola and electric heating, LED lighting strips, and a remote control system. Taxpayers also paid $100,000 for Sondland to live elsewhere while the remodeling was being done. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell has said that the Senate is preparing for an impeachment trial of Trump as soon as this Thanksgiving. McConnell apparently addressed his fellow Republican senators during a closed-door lunch using a PowerPoint presentation to explain the process. McConnell has emerged as Trump's strongest ally and appears to be readying a process to exonerate the president. Meanwhile, a group called Republicans for the Rule of Law is funding an ad campaign in the home states of about a dozen Senate Republicans, urging them to speak out against Trump and calling Trump's controversial Ukraine phone call, quote, fundamentally un-American. The investigative news outlet ProPublica has obtained some of Trump's tax records and loan applications using a Freedom of Information Act request from the state of New York. What the reporters found was that there were, quote, stark differences in how Donald Trump's businesses reported some expenses, profits, and occupancy figures for two Manhattan buildings, giving a lender different figures than they provided to New York City tax authorities. This meant that, quote, the discrepancies made the buildings appear more profitable to the lender and less profitable to the officials who set the building's property tax. Tax experts who saw the documents labeled Trump's actions as fraud. Trump on Wednesday came under fire for attempting to stage a bizarre publicity stunt exploiting the grief of a British couple who had lost their son. Harry Dunn was killed by an American woman named Ann Sakulas, who was driving her car down the street in the wrong direction. Dunn's parents have demanded her extradition to the UK and were in the US to publicize their son's story when they were invited to the White House. Trump ambushed the two, saying that Sakulas was in the room next door. The two grieving parents responded later that the attempt was highly inappropriate and that what they still want is extradition. Trump's childish conduct was on display for a second time on Wednesday when a letter that he had written to Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan about Turkey's assault on northern Syria was made public. Trump began the brief letter with the words, "Let's work out a good deal!" exclamation point. Following that, he made a threat, saying, "I don't want to be responsible for destroying the Turkish economy, and I will." He ended the letter saying, "Don't be a tough guy, don't be a fool." Turkish authorities told the BBC, quote, "President Erdogan received the letter, thoroughly rejected it, and put it in the bin." Trump also had a closed-door meeting with Democratic leaders Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer on Wednesday about the situation in Syria. The meeting lasted about 20 minutes, during which, according to Pelosi, Trump had a meltdown and called her a third-grade politician. Meanwhile, Vice President Mike Pence has arrived in Turkey for meetings with the Turkish president on the situation in Syria. And Turkish President Erdogan has just announced that he will agree to a 5-day ceasefire in the area. 25,000 teachers in Chicago, Illinois, are on strike. The nation's third largest school district has come to a standstill as 300,000 children are out of the classroom. The Washington Post explained that the striking educators want, quote, pay raises, a restorative justice coordinator for every school, and hiring more librarians, nurses, and teachers' assistants. Mayor Lori Lightfoot has said the district cannot afford to meet the demands. Meanwhile, the United Auto Workers strike against General Motors is coming to an end as both sides announced an agreement on a new 4-year contract for workers. Although the deal is not public, AP reports that according to GM, it includes, quote, wage increases and lump sum payments, top-notch health insurance at little cost to workers, promises of new products for many U.S. factories, and a path to full-time work for temporary workers. And finally, British Prime Minister Boris Johnson has announced a deal with the European Union on conditions for his country's exit from the EU. The Brexit debacle had confounded Johnson's predecessor, Theresa May, and led to her resignation. It remains to be seen if Parliament will vote yes on the deal this weekend. The EU has announced that even if the vote fails, there will be no extension to the October 31st deadline for a Brexit deal. And that does it for our news headlines today.